coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you will ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word. You need to understand this thing. And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm setting the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Yay! Pastor Chris, word hearing.
Are you ready? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. He proved it on the cross. Yes, Jesus loves me. 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 He grew on the cross. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to read to you from St. Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 16. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 16. Beginning from verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus turned to his disciples one time. He said, "Whom do men say that I am?" He knew that they didn't know who he was. And it's the same story today. Many people do not know who Jesus is. So he asked his disciples, he said, "Whom do the people say that I am?" Well, the I said, some say that you are Elijah or Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're one of the prophets. And he just thought, that's wonderful. But whom do you say that I am? Suddenly, not all the disciples knew what to say. Peter spoke up and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father revealed that to you. In other words, it takes a revelation to know who Jesus really is. It takes the power of the Spirit of God to know who Jesus really is. Was he just the son of a carpenter? Was he just a prophet? Was he just a great teacher? Was he just a healer? A great rabbi? Who is Jesus to you? It takes a revelation to know Jesus. He says to Peter, he said, Simon, flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father. Peter wasn't guessing. Peter certainly didn't know that in his head. He couldn't figure it out in his head. See, you can have a revelation and not understand it in your brain. A revelation is a knowledge that is given to us without any material medium. It's a knowledge imparted to our spirits. We just know. We may not be able to tell how we got to know. To know Jesus is a revelation. Oh, that you would realize tonight that that is the greatest revelation mankind could ever know. I want to read to you from St. John's Gospel, chapter number 17. In this particular chapter, Jesus was praying. I just want to read a little part of it to you. And you have to listen to every word that's being spoken tonight, because it'll have a lot to do with you for now and always. I'm reading from verse 1, chapter 17, St. John's Gospel. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, now here's his prayer, as he talked to the Father. He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Did you see that? He said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. There are a lot of gods, but there's only one true God. He said that they might know thee, the only true God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He said, this is life eternal. When you know Jesus, you know life eternal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your hand over your chest. I want to pray. Father, in the name of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, I pray tonight. Grant every heart the revelation of your word, your son Jesus. Tonight, let your presence fill every heart. Let your anointing fill this place. Oh, that the Holy Ghost will manifest himself here tonight and bring glory to your name. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He said, this is life eternal. Peter said to Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. What has that meant to you? John said in his own revelation, St. John's Gospel, in chapter 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Oh, nobody had a revelation of the man Jesus like John the Apostle. Nobody knew Jesus like him. He was so close to the Master. He knew Jesus. As you study his writings, you discover the man had such a powerful revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody had a revelation of the church like Paul. Hallelujah. And you put these two revelations together, you are in. Amen. John said about Jesus, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He said, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Who is this Jesus? I'd like to read to you from verse 4, chapter 1, St. John's Gospel. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Amen.
Amen.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. No wonder he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? The Bible says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The world knew him not. Why didn't the world know him? Because he didn't come in his glory. Hallelujah. The Bible says he laid his glory aside. He laid his reputation aside. Now this is wonderful. You get to understand this. Just follow this. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look, this is what turns me on right here, in the 14th verse. John said, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. We saw the glory of the Word of God. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. That means the only one that was born of the Father. Not created, not made, but born. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and reality. Hallelujah. John knew who Jesus was. Let me read to you from his first epistle. Turn to the first epistle of St. John. Same writer. He is the writer, but not the author. Come on. Does that make sense to you? You catch that? He's the writer, but he's not the author. Who's the author? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, I like this. Oh, in chapter 1, first epistle of St. John, from verse 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have, what? Heard. He begins with hearing. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. Oh, hallelujah! You know what it is to see life? Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. He says, for the life was manifested, the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Glory to God. Let's go back to St. John. This man is writing Revelation. Do you understand? He says, and the Word was made flesh. Here, he calls him the Word. There, he calls him the Word of Life. Amen? He says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. He says, the life which was with the Father was manifested. He says, that life was manifested unto us, and we have seen it. That word "it" is in italics. You should read "him." Because it's talking about a person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you something. It's so important for us to know that Jesus Christ is really the Son of God in truth. I remember during the camp meeting I was telling you something. I told you. I said, for so long the church has taken it that when God said in the book of Genesis, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. The church has believed for so long that the three of them held a meeting. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But I told you then, I said, I showed you from the Bible that that wasn't true. Jesus wasn't there. It was the Father and the Holy Ghost. Jesus wasn't there. Because there was no Jesus. There was no Jesus. Or you say, maybe he was there with another name. No, sir. No, he wasn't there. You have to understand who Jesus really is. Jesus was never one aside from the Father. Never, never, never. Jesus was never separate from the Father. The angels never saw one called Jesus. For he was never there. There was no such one as Jesus. The Bible never tells us that he was there. See, as I studied along these lines in the Word of God and by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, I began to see this thing so clearly. And then when you understand this, you begin to appreciate more and more the crucifixion and what that cross means to you. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told you, you see, man is a spirit. He is in the class of God. He was made in the class of God. And man can do things like God. Why? Because God gave him the power. Do you understand? God made man to be like him. Man can do things like God. For example, God gave Abraham a son in his old age. The son of promise, who would be his heir. And then one day, God, the Bible says, tested Abraham. He tested him. He said to him, Abraham, give me your son. Offer him to me as a burnt sacrifice. This is the child that this man had waited for so many years. The son of his old age. And God, the Bible says, was testing Abraham. He said, Abraham, give me your son. He said, go to one of the mountains of Moriah and offer your son as a burnt sacrifice. The Bible says that Abraham took his son and went there. You read that portion in the book of Genesis, it's so touching. It touched the heart of God. I said, it touched the heart of God. He took his son there. He took the wood to burn his son. And went with his knife to cut him through. The son followed him. Isaac followed him. When they got to the mountain, the son said to the father, he said, there's wood for the fire. Everything else is ready. He said, but where is the lamb? He didn't know he was the one. The father said, God will provide himself a lamb. And then tied his son. Read the Bible. He tied him and laid him on the wood. And was ready to kill him. This is the son that God gave him. God said, give me your son. Offer him as a burnt sacrifice. He was ready to kill him. As he was about to do that, God spoke out of heaven. And called him twice. Abraham, Abraham, stop! He said, now I know that you trust me. Then God provided the ram. And Abraham took the ram and offered the ram instead of his son. God was moved. Abraham would give his son. God didn't have a son to give. There's another challenge in the Bible. One of the most touching challenges that's written in that scripture. There's a man called Jonathan. The son of Saul the king. And Jonathan was the heir apparent. The crown prince. He would become king after his father. One day, the Philistines came against Israel in battle. And a young man that had been anointed by the Spirit of God came to the battlefront.
He was too young to be in the army. But he heard a great giant cursing and cursing and cursing. So, David asked, he said, who is that? Oh, they said, he's the giant Goliath of Gath. Nobody can fight him. Everybody's afraid of him. Oh, he said, I can. Young boy, 17 years old. He said, I can. Well, you know the story. By the power of God, he killed the giant, Goliath. The Bible says, Jonathan, the son of Saul, loved him. He saw the young man David and loved David. Saul the king took David to his own house. And Jonathan took David aside and talked with him. He just loved this young guy. And made a covenant with David. You know what kind of covenant he made with him? He made a blood covenant with David. And said, from today you are my brother. They became blood brothers. And God was watching all these things. Later on, Saul became angry with David because he became popular. And the people were singing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Oh, because of that he became persona non grata. Saul wanted to kill him. But his son Jonathan had made a covenant with David. One day, when Saul sent out 3,000 soldiers to look for David to kill him, Jonathan went to find David for himself. When he got to David, I tell you, this is very interesting. Before David escaped and had these 3,000 men looking for him, he was not in the house of Saul one day when they were having dinner. And Saul was offended because he had plans that day to kill him. But he was not there. So he asked his son Jonathan, where is David? Oh, he said he asked permission to go to his family. They have a feast at this time and he cannot come. Then he took a javelin and threw it at his son Jonathan to kill him because he was angry. Jonathan said, why? He said, don't you know that that boy is more popular than yourself? As long as David is alive, you will not be king. And he had been watching his son. He saw that his son loved David with his whole heart. So he said, I know you prefer that boy to yourself. Fool, he said, you are a fool. You know, like they would call him Agbaya. Hallelujah. But the boy, he made a covenant with David. He made a covenant with David. He loved David. He said, because God was with David. You know, one day, at this time when they were looking for him, they wanted to kill him, he ran to meet David. He said, now I know my father wants to kill you. Then here's the most touching part. He said to him, he said, my father knows that I prefer you to myself. He said, you will be king and I will be next to you. Listen, this is the heir apparent, crown prince himself. He was not fighting for the throne. His father was fighting to help him keep it. But the young man said no. He knew the hand of God was on David. He said, you will become king, and I shall be next to you. This was moving for God. Moving. Can a man actually do that? This is the greatest of love. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. What could be greater? Are you still there? God needed a son. God
needed someone who would understand him and follow him. He looked throughout the world. There was none. God needed somebody to redeem the world. There was none. God needed somebody to be man's next of kin. There was none. No redeemer. Man had become a child of the devil by obeying Satan in the garden. You remember? In the garden. Man had become a partaker of Satan's nature. None for God anymore. One day, God came to a woman. You see, you cannot have a normal human being without a woman. You can have without a man, but you cannot have without a woman. Oh, you ladies, aren't you glad about that? You can have without a man, but you cannot have without a woman. If that one is to have rights on the face of the earth. You say, why? I tell you. Jesus proved you can have without a man. Because he was born without the agency of a man. He was born of a virgin. Proof positive. You could have a child without a man. Hallelujah. But to be a human being, you need a human body. And a human body can only come from a woman. Oh, you didn't know that. The life may come from a man, but the body can only come from a woman. Otherwise, it is not a human being. Did you hear me? It's something else. It is not a human being. Glory to God. So God wanted to have a son. So he needed a woman. And he got Mary. And sent his word to Mary. Thou shalt bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. You see, the miracle of the word of God is this. And you, some of you, you want to be here tonight. Get ready for this. This is very important. See, when God speaks, his word is the life. His word is the life. Whatever God's word says, whatever the message that is in that word that he speaks, the word has the life and is the life of the message that he carries. The word becomes whatever it says. If the word is a message of healing, it carries healing with it. Are you hearing me? Like you have different seeds, orange seed, corn seed, call it mango, anything. All these different seeds. Alright? Any seed. The one you sow is the one you're going to reap. Now, God's word is the seed. If it talks about healing, it is the seed of healing. If it talks about a son getting you a child, then it is the child seed. Like the child seed came to Abraham when he had no child. God said, you're going to bring forth a son. You have a son in your old age. The man received it. When Jesus said, rise up and walk, the power, the life to be able to rise up and walk went in the word to the man. Hallelujah. When God says, be strong, the word that he has spoken, be strong. When you hear it, it becomes the strength in you. It makes you strong. Are you following this? It's so important for us to understand the word of God. God now is going to have a son. So he speaks to a woman and says, you shall bring forth a son.
He shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Bible says the woman believed. She believed. She only asked a question. She said, how can this be, seeing I'm not yet married to a man? She was engaged to be married, but she wasn't married yet. How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? Oh, the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. You see, every time God speaks, when the Holy Ghost comes upon the word, hallelujah, he creates the environment for that seed to reproduce. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If you take a corn seed and put it on this platform, it will not grow. It is the wrong environment. If you put it in your pocket, it will not grow. It is the wrong environment. Are you hearing me? If you buy a very fine Rolls Royce and put the seed on the owner's seat, it will not grow. It is what? The wrong environment. But go to the soil and put it there, it will surely grow. Because that is the right environment. This is the reason why some people read the Bible and nothing happens. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is not present to give them the right environment. That's why people can read the Bible in a court, in a secret society, and it will not work. That's why somebody can carry it and say, I'm reading the Psalms, and it will not work. That's why somebody can sit on top of it, and it will not work. But when you are a child of God, and the Holy Ghost is present with you, He will create the right environment for the Word to work. Hallelujah! Can you say amen? So when the angel said to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. He said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. The woman received it. She received the word. And the Holy Ghost came upon her. And she brought forth a son. And he was called Jesus. The word of God became a son because God spoke that a son would be born. That's how Jesus came to be. This is the reason Jesus is the Son of God. He was not born by man's seed. He was born of the word. The word that God spoke became Jesus. Now, you cannot separate a man from his word. You cannot separate God from his word. The life of that baby is the life of the word. And the life of the word is the life of the speaker. And the speaker is Almighty God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He was never separate from his father. Nobody ever knew Jesus. They only knew the word. That's why John said, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. In the 14th verse. Hallelujah. He says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Every step that Jesus took, it was the word of God made flesh. And they all wondered at him. He was the word of God. He was a wonder. He was the joy of the Father's heart. The Father had never known such joy. Like nobody knows such joy than to bring forth a child of your own body. But the Father brought forth a child of his own word. He'd never had one. Here was a son on the earth having the life of God and a human body. 100% man and 100% God. Hallelujah. Are you still there? I said he was 100% man and he was 100% God. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was Jesus. When the demons cried and said, we know who you are, the Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us before the time? They knew he was the Word of God made flesh. Every time Jesus stood up and faced those devils, they knew they were facing the Word of God. He was a terror to them. They knew they couldn't kill him. He said, this one thing received I from my Father. He gave me power to lay my life down. They couldn't kill him. Hallelujah. He said, I have the power to lay my life down and have the power to take it up again. They couldn't kill him. He was not among those that could die. Satan couldn't kill him. Can you say amen? Oh, he had never been separated from his father. He had always been one with the father. His only joy was to please his father. That's all he ever wanted. This Jesus. Oh, as I read about him in the Word, I was so inspired just to think about this Son of God who only wanted to do one thing. He had a will of his own. He had a mind of his own, like anybody else. Are you hearing me? He had a will of his own. He had a mind of his own. He could do whatever he wanted, but he made up his mind to please his father. The Bible says he was obedient unto death. At the Garden of Gethsemane, that night, he wept bitterly. Why? Oh, many people have read it, but they didn't understand it. He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Why did he say that? For the first time in his life, he was going to be separated from the Father. Not only separated, are you still there? Not only was he going to be separated, he was going to be made a partaker of Satan's nature. Awful, dreadful, the worst experience he was going to have. He didn't mind dying for anybody. He was ready to die. He didn't mind it, that's why he came. But part of it would be for him to be separated from the Father. He had said before, my Father is always with me. He had said before, my Father that dwelleth in me, he performs the miracles. He had said before, I do what I see my Father do. Everyone knew him to be associated with his Father. He had spoken of his love for his Father. He was obsessed with love for his Father. Everyone knew it. This Father he talked about. And now he was going to be separated. So while he was there in the garden, he said, oh, let this cup pass from me. The Bible says, as he prayed, sweat came out of his body like great drops of blood. As he prayed that prayer on that dreadful night. But then, the Father, he knew this was the Father's will. He said, nevertheless, not my will. In other words, I do not want ever to be separated from you for one moment. Not one moment. But if you want it so for now, let your will be done. And then on he went and he was arrested. Why did he have to do this? Because Satan had gained Adamic authority. Satan had gained Adamic power. That devil had gained Adamic power, which was higher than the power of angels. Did you ever read in your Bible that when Michael the archangel wanted to take the body of Moses, and Satan also wanted to carry the body of Moses, Michael the archangel, who's the highest angel, could not rebuke Satan? Why? Because Satan had lost angelic power. So he was not an angel, although he was an angel as a person, but his authority was not angelic authority. He had Adamic authority. The one that he stole in the garden. So Michael said, the Lord, even the Lord rebuke you. That's the only way Michael could speak. The Bible says Michael could not dare bring against Satan a written accusation. Why? Because God has set the hierarchy. God first, man second. After man, then angels. So the angels were lower than man. The Bible says he placed all the works of his hands under the authority of Adam. And said, take all the works of his hands, including the whole earth and the starry heavens. That's marvelous. That's the reason Satan now got his folks to stay
and the atmosphere above us. That also belongs to man. We have authority in that realm. Hallelujah.
And so, God needed the one who would redeem man. And Jesus was there. You remember on that cross when he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
The Bible says he was made sin. Who knew no sin?
He had become sin. Our sins were laid on Jesus. When our sins were laid on Jesus, like the prophet says, thou dost not behold iniquity. So the Father turned his back on Jesus. Then Jesus cried out.
He had become forsaken. He had become the serpent that Moses spoke of. He had become the serpent that John talked about. He had become the worm that the psalmist spoke of. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also shall the Son of Man be lifted up. A serpent of brass. He was made sin. Sin is represented by that serpent. The nature of Satan had been put on him. Because he took our iniquities. That's the only way he could die. When that happened to him on the cross, he gave up the ghost. He died. And he was buried. Hallelujah.
This Jesus, when he was buried, listen to me, listen carefully. Listen, we know that before his death, every demon that he encountered, he whipped. I mean, he set all them devils flying. They all ran away from him. He spoke to the winds and the waves. Peace, be still. Everything he touched turned into success. He was the Son of God in truth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Everything he did was a success.
And now, they carry his body to bury him. In the grave, he's laid. But in his spirit, you know when a man dies, he comes out of the body. In his spirit, he was taken as a prisoner. Are you hearing me?
He became Satan's prisoner in hell. The Bible says he that ascended, first of all, descended to the lower parts of darkness.
He went down as a prisoner.
And all the devils, they knew they had gotten him.
They took him. But you know something, brothers and sisters?
When he died on that cross, something happened. The Bible says a soldier took a spear and went to him and thrust it through his side, and blood and water gushed out, showing that his heart had ruptured. You know why? Because while he was hanging on that cross, two things were going on. Men crucified him. God crucified him. The Bible says, thou hast put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days.
Men slew Jesus. God slew Jesus.
He bruised him on the cross. As people watch him, read Isaiah chapter 52. Read the last two verses. You'll be amazed what you find there. Then you read into chapter 3. And read from verse 1 to verse 10. Just write that down for yourself. It's amazing. Why? Jesus was on that cross. The death-dealing blow of God came upon him. And he began to change on the cross. He was changing on the cross. He was so bruised. He was so bruised. He was so squeezed up. The Bible shows us that his body looked like a rag hanging. He lost his shape. Every manner of sickness came upon his body. Every manner of disease was upon his body. While he was there, he was changing on that cross. The Bible says those that were watching put their hands over their breasts, amazed at what they saw.
He was a man. But he had been so changed, the Bible says his visage was so marred more than any man. Because of the death-dealing blow of God came upon him. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. He paid for everybody's sickness. And in his blood, when the thrust that spread through his side, blood and water came out. His heart had ruptured. All his blood came out. So the blood became the sacrifice. The blood was speaking like the blood of Abel spoke in the Old Testament. When Cain, God asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? He said, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is. God said to Cain, your brother's blood is speaking to me. Blood talks. Are you hearing me? Blood talks. So when Jesus was carried in hell, they took him a prisoner. His blood was talking. Hallelujah. His blood was talking. Glory to God. As his blood cried out, I am a sacrifice. I am a sacrifice. I am a sacrifice. The righteous demands of justice were satisfied. God said, it is accepted. All the angels heard the news. Glory to God. When all the angels heard the news that the blood had been accepted as sacrifice for our sins, they all got ready. Hallelujah. In hell, they heard the news. When they heard the news, hallelujah. Glory to God. When they heard the news in hell, they took their hands off of Jesus. They thought we have to fight our last. This was the last battle. Jesus had been declared the Son of God with power. And now all the devils in the cohorts of hell were grappling with Jesus. The Bible says he engaged them in that terrible conflict. He threw off from himself powers. He threw off principalities. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Something to read to you. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. When he whipped them as the Son of God, listen, he was not helped by God. He fought them with his Adamic perfection. He was not helped by God, because when Jesus died, the Holy Ghost had left him. Remember, he cried, why hast thou forsaken me? God left him. He had to go and fight for himself and for the rest of us. Hallelujah. In verse 15, chapter 2, Colossians, the Bible says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Listen, I don't know if you're getting this picture. You know, Paul was a Roman. He was a Jew, but he was also a Roman. You understand? He had Roman citizenship. He understood when these people went to war. When the kings of old, the kingdoms of old, the empires of old went to war. He knew what used to happen. When this particular kingdom had destroyed the other kingdom, they would take the king and all their soldiers and take all the spoil meant everything that was of value belonging to their adversary. They would take all of that. That was called the spoil. Then they would parade them into the city. As prisoners of war, they will parade them into the city, making a public show. That's what you call a public show. And then they bring them to an arena, and then people are watching from the grandstands. As this enemy has been captured and brought down here, being made a public spectacle, so beaten, in hell, Jesus paraded Lucifer, the devil, and all the demons of darkness. Who was looking? Papa Abraham was looking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaac was looking.
they were there, they saw the devil beaten by Jesus. Hallelujah! There were demons of blindness. There were demons of deafness. All kinds of devils. Hindering spirits. Unclean spirits. Demons of death. Hallelujah! And they all queued up. They all queued up. Lucifer was ahead of them. Glory to God. And Jesus paraded them in hell. It was time to come out of hell. He had been a victor on the earth. He was now a victor in hell. Hallelujah! He was a victor in hell. Are you hearing me? Then he went to the cells on this side of Hades, what they call Abraham's bosom. He unlocked their cells and brought them out. The Bible says he led captivity captive. Can you shout amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had won. The battle is over. He had already won. It was time to come out of the grave. This was the most shocking of it, because this was going to be a glory in the earth. Because over on this side of the earth, they didn't understand it yet. There was only one thing everybody was afraid of, and that was death. The Bible says they were all their lifetime subject to bondage because of the fear of death. Guess what? He first sent all of those he brought out of Hades, out of Abraham's bosom, he sent them up. The Bible says their graves began to open. Suddenly, Noah came out. The Bible says this. Listen, I'm not making this up. It's in the Word. Hallelujah. Think about it. Noah came out of the grave. Over there, Elisha's grave was shaken. I mean, the thing was rocking. And Elisha came out. Glory to God. Think about it. Here, somebody, a Jewish boy, is walking in his father's garden, and while he's walking there and just doing something with his hoe, a man stands in front of him. And he says, what? He says, you know what? I am David. I am David. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then was the big one. Jesus came back into his body in the cave. When all this was happening on the earth, Jesus Christ was sitting in the cave. He is not going to take the indignity of moving the stone. He folded the cloth that was over his head. He was not in a hurry. He folded it and kept it beside him. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Jesus. The Bible says an angel of the Lord came from heaven with the speed of lightning, the Bible says. He came from heaven as lightning. And when he came, all the soldiers, 16 of them that were standing by that great stone, all fell down. And you know what? Oh, glory. That angel, he just kicked that stone away and sat on top of it. And the master came out. He was waiting in the garden. What was he waiting for? I tell you, all the people he brought out of Hades had gone into the city. He was waiting for them. Hallelujah. And then while he was waiting for them in the garden, Mary came looking for Jesus. When she got there, the cave was open. She thought, who? She looked in, the body wasn't there. The angel said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Hallelujah. He is not here. He is risen as he said. He is not here. He is risen. when he was raised from the dead, after he had fulfilled the ministry, his vicarious ministry, he became our high priest to take his own blood. Oh, and all these beautiful saints of God that he had brought out of the graves, they went to the heavenlies to wait for him. While he was talking with Mary, he said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. Why? He mentioned Peter's name. You remember Peter denied him? Peter thought his own was done. He thought he was finished. But Jesus remembered Peter. He said, go and tell my disciples and Peter that I go before you into Galilee. There shall you see me. Oh, Mary wanted to hug him and greet him so well and kiss him. The master said, don't touch me, Mary. I haven't yet ascended to my father. Some people thought he said, don't touch me because she was a woman. No! He had become our high priest. And when the high priest was going into the holiest of holies, nobody touched him. He went alone. He said, tell them, I'll meet them in Galilee. He said, but tell them, I go to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. Hallelujah. To heaven he went. You remember when he came out of the grave? He came out not the same one that died. Listen, because he was made sin. When he was buried, he was made sin on the cross, and then he died and he was buried. Now he was raised from the dead. He was a new creation. The Bible says God spoke of him prophetically and said, this day have I begotten thee. John said of him, he was the only begotten of the Father. But after he was raised from the dead, he became the first begotten of the Father. After his resurrection, he is never called the only begotten of the Father. He is only called the first begotten. Why? Because the rest of us, glory! Woo-hoo! Hallelujah! Oh, glory to his holy name forever! Yes! Hallelujah! He is the first begotten! He is the first begotten! Oh, I like it. We are his brethren. Can you say amen? Because he was born again, the angels were still waiting. He was coming as our high priest. The first born again high priest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When he got there, the gates were still locked. You can read that for yourself. In the book of Psalm 24, he cried out, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Woo! No, 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 no. Now, they didn't recognize him. In the spirit, when you are born again, you are not what you used to be. They didn't recognize him. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Somebody said, when he wanted to come out of the grave, that's when he said it. No! Because he said, everlasting doors. The gates of hell cannot be called everlasting doors. And he didn't say, and the King of glory shall go out. He said, the King of glory shall come in. Amen! They were the pearly gates of heaven. Oh, they cried out from heaven and said, who is this King of glory? He said, the Lord is the King of glory. He said it again. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. They said, and who is the King of glory? He said, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Ooh. Hallelujah. Mighty in battle. 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 He had taken the spoil. He had got the kingdom back. He had gotten our redemption for us. Hallelujah. is sick, anybody that is afflicted, anybody that is oppressed, you don't need prayer. You don't need to beg. You don't need to cry. Just stand up. Testament, they didn't queue up those who were sick to pray for them. Peter coming to the quarters, he got to the city of Lydda. He said, Aeneas, who was sick of the palsy for 8 long years, he said, Aeneas, Jesus makes you well, get up. Aeneas got up. Paul was preaching at Lystra, he saw a man who was impotent in his feet. He said, sir, stand upright on your feet. The man got up. Can you shout amen? Amen? Peter and John at the gates called Beautiful. They saw this man who was impotent in his feet. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but that which I have I give you. He didn't pray. He said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up. Hallelujah. And all this wonder was going on. Just remain standing where you are. And Jesus took his blood into heaven and sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven and obtained eternal redemption for us. In the mind of God, anybody who would believe that Jesus is his son would receive eternal life. He'll be free from disease. He'll be free from sickness. He signed it into law. Then Jesus came down. Meanwhile, all these great men were still waiting, men and women, waiting in the heavenlies. And Jesus presented his blood before the Father, obtained eternal redemption. And then the Father, oh, I love the Holy Ghost. You know, I used to think that Jesus Christ was the one. Listen, this is very interesting because it's so difficult to tell the Father from Jesus and Jesus from the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they're all one. But through revelation, you can tell. I knew always that the manifestation of Melchizedek the high priest back in the Old Testament was a manifestation of Christ. But then the Holy Ghost said to me, it was a manifestation of Christ, but not of Jesus. I thought, my goodness. Then he began to show me something. Listen to this, very, very important. You know, people think the Father, top least, next to him is the Son. Next to the Son is the Holy Ghost. No, don't ever think so. This Holy Ghost is not under Jesus. You cannot be greater than your Father. Listen, the Holy Ghost is co-equal with God. That manifestation of Christ as Melchizedek in the Old Testament was actually one of such manifestations of the Holy Ghost in the ministry of the priesthood. As he operated and manifested himself, Melchizedek was the king of Salem, meaning king of peace. He was also called king of righteousness, king of righteousness, and king of peace. What's Jesus called? The prince of peace. Listen, the Holy Ghost raised up his son to take the office of the priesthood and the office of the king. Listen, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He gave to Jesus the priesthood. The Holy Ghost gave to Jesus
the priesthood. Jesus became our eternal high priest. Then he went to heaven as our high priest. Again, the Holy Ghost is present in heaven. He is the King of peace. He has already made him the King of righteousness. Now he takes the crown and puts Jesus on his throne and gives him the crown. And says, here, you are king in all three worlds. In heaven, in earth, and under the earth. And said, go in my name. Do you know the Holy Ghost doesn't have a name? He doesn't have a name. He doesn't have a name. The name of Jesus is his name. We all call him Holy Spirit. Holy is characteristic of his personality. Spirit is what he is. He doesn't have a name. Then he said, you go in my name. Are you listening to me? And he said, I am with you always. And Jesus came. Oh, this is marvelous. When he came, he said, all hail. Now this Holy Ghost, always behind the scene. Always behind the scene. He is the operator of the Godheads. He is the doer. Do you understand? The Father makes the decree. Jesus is the beneficiary. The Holy Ghost is the executor. The Father decides what should be done. For the glory of his Son Jesus, the Holy Ghost carries it out. He put the crown on his head. Then Jesus came to his disciples and said, as my Father has sent me. How do you know? You know, in Matthew chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible says that Jesus was a child of the Holy Ghost. The child of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost stands behind him and gives him all authority by his own power, by his own victory, by his own conquest. He inherited the name. By inheritance also he got his name as the Son of God. While these great men were waiting, Jesus had finished 40 days and 40 nights on the earth teaching his disciples. Now he was coming. Think about it. Son of God, as these great men and women of old saw him ascending, the disciples were watching him go. These ones were watching him come. The Bible says a cloud of witnesses received him out of their sight. They followed him in. This glorious Son of God. Now he calls us and says, I want you to stay in the redemption that I give to you. If sickness comes on your body, don't accept it. Because that's what he suffered for. And he has gained the victory. And the victory that he gained is your own. If fear comes against you, don't accept it. Reject it. Call his name. His name has power on the earth. His name has power in hell. His name has power in heaven. Are you saying amen? Amen. We're here now. What can we say but to thank him for doing all this for us? Who would lay down his life? This was greater than Jonathan. Who laid down his life for us and exalted us to sit where he sits. Hallelujah. Sharing with him his health. Sharing with him his glory. His throne. His very life. And his name. Whatever your need is, I want you to know, he has already made provision for that need. Amen. He has made provision for that need. If it's a swelling in your body, you will talk to it tonight. You will say, go! If it's cancer, you will tell the cancer to go. It will go tonight.
You tell it to leave in the name of Jesus. Because he has paid for it. Enjoy your inheritance now. I said, enjoy your inheritance now. If it's your eye, tell it to open up. If it's your ear, tell it to open up. If it's your legs, tell it to be healed. If you couldn't walk, you will get up and start walking. If your arm couldn't move, start moving it. Can you say amen? The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist the devil? Whatever you could not do before, you will do it. Say amen. Amen. If you couldn't bend down, you will bend. Amen. Hallelujah. Anything. No matter what the case is. No matter what happened to you.
The hands of Jesus are healing hands, taking your sorrows and all your pains, bringing back your hopes again. The hands of Jesus are healing hands. The hands of Jesus are healing hands.
To order for this message and other titles by Pastor Chris, log on to www.christembassyonlinestore.org.